Search lights and ripples of flame, and sometimes a swarm of firefly lights in the darkness. The firefly lights were their own bombers' running lights, and the ripples of flame were enemy anti-aircraft guns shooting at the bombers. No matter what their planes had done, the Japanese ships were still coming south. They were in the Philippines, on the island of Mindoro. It was 1944, a hot, dry evening, the day after Christmas. Since the year began, they had fought their way north, from New Guinea to the Philippines, 2,000 miles of mountains, jungle, islands, and oceans. In the 5th Air Force, they had been the artillery for Douglas MacArthur's army, and sometimes the tank corps, too. The airfields had been the front line. They had made rough landings in valleys where airfields could be built, flown in squadrons of airplanes while the Japanese were still being cleared out, and moved the front line forward. They had sidestepped entire Japanese armies and cut them off and left them behind, sitting on empty islands. They thought MacArthur was an ass, but he hadn't made many mistakes, and he hadn't gotten them slaughtered on beachheads. Mindoro was close to the Japanese and far from help. This time MacArthur might have made a mistake. They were 300 miles from the 6th Army Divisions on Leyte, farther still from any friendly air base, nowhere near any Navy fleet. They would have to handle by themselves whatever the Japanese threw at them. At their last base, Japanese paratroopers had landed on the runway shouting Banzai and firing submachine guns. That recollection was on everyone's mind. Tonight, the radio section was talking about a convoy of enemy troop ships. One bomber pilot had seen landing barges alongside the destroyers. Against paratroopers with submachine guns, all they had would be their pistols. And against the Japanese cruisers, their bombers didn't seem to have done much good. If the Japanese warships were firing star shells now, they would be firing high-explosive shells next. That night on Mindoro, Rocky Boyer, First Lieutenant Roscoe A. Boyer, was one of the officers loading the bombs. He was my father. Rocky was 25 then. In his young life, he had been a farm boy, a college boy, a draftee, and a sergeant, and now he was communications officer for the 110th Tactical Reconnaissance Squadron. The next day, out of the officers in his tent, he would be the only man left alive. In the Southwest Pacific during the war, no one was supposed to keep a diary. At reunions after the war, when they found out that Rocky had done that, other men from his old squadron looked again at him, sharply. They knew that Rocky had kept their radios working. They had heard that he had been a college professor after the war and retired as a full colonel. They had to think about what he might have said. They had been on troop ships with Rocky and flown over the same mountains that he had. They knew the same places, Moresby and Nadsab and Biak, and where servicemen went on leave in Sydney. They had stood around in the same blacked-out tropical midnights, waiting for the sirens or gunshots that would sound the all clear. They had had the same friends whose planes hadn't come back. They had shot the breeze together and listened to Radio Tokyo and griped about Colonel Hutchison and rejoiced when retribution overtook Colonel Brownfield. They had gone to church with him, and Rocky might know what had happened that time when the chaplain wrote to MacArthur. Rocky had stolen a jeep for them. He was the officer they sent to buy beer because he was the officer who didn't drink. That night at Mindoro, when the Japanese ships shelled them, Rocky had driven to the airfield in the blackout and helped Smitty and Jensen load up the P-40s. Rocky kept his diary during a year that took him from a Mississippi training base to New Guinea and from New Guinea to the Philippines, the Southwest Pacific Air War of 1944. Of that brilliant and hard-fought campaign, an American blitzkrieg led by planes instead of tanks, Rocky told a narrative in counterpoint. He tried out titles, The Prelude to Battle, or Behind the Lines, but his tone was never grandiloquent. Once he remarked that he had been a lieutenant when he kept the diary, and that he had probably thought that anyone with a higher rank was a scoundrel. He agreed with what Bill Mauldin said, that every soldier wanted to write a book exposing the army after the war. The story is wrapped around three battles and a scandal, but it is not the Pacific War of the standard histories. The pilots Rocky knew did not dogfight with Zeros. They shot it out with Japanese anti-aircraft gunners.